wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. It's the only way.
Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late, everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. I said one, two, three. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Thank you. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida. It's Monday, May 6th already, joined by Ethan Moore.
Yeah, it's good to be here, Dougie. I'm reminded every time I do your show how much I hate Elgin David's falsetto.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. I love Elgin.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a daddy, so he has been in the studio for a bit, but he's still with the show.
I miss Elgin, actually. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, you guys are developing a nice camaraderie here in the show.
What's that?
You guys were on the show together. You guys were doing it.
We work well together. We've done a bunch of little kind of projects together, and I always have a good time with him.
Yeah, but he's being a dad, so he'll be back. He's just doing what's important, I guess.
That's good.
You know, speaking of doing what's important, I'm back from North Hollywood, California. I was there from Wednesday. Just flew in today with all this nightmare of a weather we've had here.
Boy, are Dougie's jokes tired.
Boy, my fucking punchline's pooped. We had to circle around out in the Gulf, not the Gulf, the Everglades.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm noticing, you can tell like when you're getting in, like flying in from into Florida, Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
If you come from the west, you basically fly over Naples. You could tell by the way you're flying. Oh, I guess this must be Naples.
Well, and you pay way more attention than I do when you're flying.
Oh yeah,
no, I'm just like, oh, we're landing now. Okay.
Oh yeah, no, but I'll do that. Like I can tell. Okay, we're gonna be now. And then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, why are we? And then I realize we're circling. You know, we're just going in circles.
Yeah. Okay.
Out there in the middle of halfway through Florida.
Right.
And then the guy, you may have noticed that we've been circling. I did notice.
It's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Right. And it means then something's wrong.
Yeah, that means like
they never do it just for fun.
No, we just want to. We're just gonna. Just in case the airport's closed and no one told us. Yeah, so we...
You guys enjoying the in-flight movie. It's just we decided to...
Oh, my God.
We need a few more minutes to finish it, so we decided to circle.
Hey, the kid in 4B hasn't finished watching Avengers.
Right.
It's fucking great. Early morning, but then you think, what's going on, you know? But we finally landed in storm, and the girl behind me was freaking out because it was a little bumpy. And she kept opening and shutting her fucking window. You know the window? I'm sitting on the window, and her window is kind of like right by my head.
Oh, right.
You know, like, I can't really look at it unless I'm a yogi. Turn around. But she's like, look, opens it up.
Right. And she's checking.
Then
to
she
see
shuts
if...
it. Slam.
She's looking for those gremlins out on the wing.
Yeah. She thinks this is Twilight Zone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and she keeps opening it, shutting it. Opening it, shutting it. Opening it, shutting it.
I wonder if that's like a... what do you call it? Like when people are trying to like calm themselves down,
like they a nervous
do like
tick?
Little nervous things. Yeah, it's like that. Except she was making you more nervous.
I was just getting pissed.
Right.
Like you know what? Keep the fucking thing open or shut it. Okay.
You're a little high strung, Dougie.
Listen, I don't know why. I've been in California where weed is legal.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't you just pop some edibles
before
you got on the flight and not
I
even
brought
care?
Them. I brought home.
Yeah.
Listen, first of all, NoHo Comedy Festival, fantastic time. And you know what's really good about a comedy festival when they pay your room and board? Like when they give you the hotel? You know, some of these comedy festivals don't give you hotels. You got to go on your own dime and shit. So
okay,
that was number one. Number two, they brought us food every day.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, we didn't have to pay for food.
Right.
Right? And we had great shows. Okay, but it was sponsored by 8 weed companies. The swag bag had pre-rolls in it, edibles, gummy bears.
It's a whole new world, man.
They had a liquid jar of like oil of it, whatever. It was like 100 milligrams in it.
Right.
That's a lot. I'm sorry, 500.
Okay.
And some idiot almost drank it like it was one of those five-hour energy drinks.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you think would happen if you
did that? He'd be gone.
You'd trip.
You'd
be like eating acid or something.
You would sleep for like a month.
Yeah.
And
weed is getting dangerous out there. They're like, you know, it's
there's somebody, I won't mention who it was, but there was somebody in the industry at the festival that got so fucked up. They were one night they had to go home.
Oh,
that tea goes, I had too many edibles, man. And I was like, wow. But that dude, they had these edibles. They had these edibles, and they're like Rice Krispie treats.
Okay.
But they weren't Rice Krispies. They were like the Flintstone. What are they? Like the
Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles?
Yeah.
I don't eat that shit, but Fruity Pebbles is like the Rice Krispies, kind of like
they
little pieces.
They kind of like Rice Krispies. I haven't had them since I was
six. Oh, my
six,
God, dude.
But, yeah.
So they're called Flintstones.
Okay.
What is, I don't know. What's the...
Flintstones, get
whatever,
it?
Whatever, I
like
don't
that.
Know.
Is that the
But,
the
dude,
joke?
It was a edible, like a big Rice Krispie cake.
Uh-huh.
It had 100 milligrams, the whole cake.
Okay.
And it was delicious. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, it, you know, some of the edibles you eat, you could taste them, you know.
I've never done it.
Well, that's right. You're, you know.
Yeah, well, actually, that's not true. I've had, like, some weed brownies back in the day that were super
strong.
But
even then, you could taste, like, the cannabis, you know
what
I mean?
You could taste the
THC.
Weed.
And
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But these, you can't. You think you're just eating Rice Krispie treats.
Wow.
And they were delicious. So I came home tired, stoned one night in the hotel. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, these guys, people were talking, these are great. So I opened one up, you know, the whole 100 milligram one.
Yeah.
I ate it, kept eating it, and I'm playing computer or poker or something.
Yeah.
And I don't even realize that I ate half the fucking thing.
Right.
So that was 50 milligrams I took just before bed.
And so you're just tripping at that point.
Yeah. I had some weird dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a weird morning. Was waking up was really weird. So, but dude, it was just fucking, it was great because we got, you know, big shout out to my friend Jimmy Schubert. We had that lunch yesterday and he came to the show.
Oh, that's
he
cool.
Actually, you know, he shows up to the festival and I got to meet Josh Wolf, very funny comic who actually did a spot there as well.
You had a good time at the festival?
Yeah, man.
Like up there on stage, got a good reaction. It was good.
Yeah, and I got a thumbs up. You know what I mean?
Oh, cool.
And here's the thing, the last show, Jimmy comes to the show and they say, why don't you get up? Of course, just. Who doesn't go up?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes up, and guess who they put right after Jimmy Schubert?
Hmm.
Me.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, bring your friend. He crushes for fucking 10 minutes, and now I got to go up.
Yeah. So how'd you do?
I did great.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's...
I was like, fuck. And some porn star, some Asian porn star hosted the show.
Oh, okay. Well, that's...
You saw my opening line was?
What?
I said, boy, this may be the first time I ever came on stage with a boner.
Okay. I was going to say, wow, it's hard to recognize her without the pixels.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but it was fun.
Okay.
So the fucked up thing, though, is I'm home. Like, I was in Chicago for 2 weeks. I came home for 2 days and flew to California. Right? Now, my wife's on a road trip.
Okay.
So she's gone. And now I'm, you know.
Should have had me over to watch the house, you know?
Yeah, I could have. But So now here's
steal
the thing.
Your shit, you know. Fuck
yeah,
your
we
dog.
Come home. Yeah. My dog's looking weird.
Your dog's
walking
been raped.
Funny.
Yeah.
So, the good news is this week, guys, Wednesday, Wise Guys Comedy Show. Ahmed will be in town. He's going to be here on Wednesday night headlining.
Hmm.
Alan Newcomb from Orlando will be our feature. And then, of course, I'm going to be at Off the Hook Comedy Club with Ahmed Friday through Sunday. And then, guess what? Guess where I get to go back next Wednesday? California.
LA? Yeah.
Another fucking Thursday, early Thursday morning to come home Monday again.
That's great, man. Are you complaining?
It's great.
Or, yeah.
But I'm not, I'm not complaining.
Okay.
I'm not complaining at all.
All right.
I'm just saying.
You're finally getting booked after all this hard work over the years.
What do you mean finally? I've been, you know, like it just happened.
Yeah, but you know.
But now it's really in it.
You
now
are. No. It's different now. I've noticed.
Yeah.
Like it started, you know what I mean? Like 3 years ago or something, probably when I first started in there showing. Yeah, you'd get booked and stuff.
Right.
But you weren't getting booked to like go out of town, and if you did, you were going out of town to like someplace no one heard of. Now
right
you're, now, you're doing stuff in L.A.
Yeah,
Chicago.
Shit. Yeah,
that's cool, man.
It feels good.
Congrats. That's
it
great.
It does feel good.
Yeah,
and it did, and it felt good to be there this weekend because with these festivals, you never know. You don't want to be like the worst person on the festival.
Yeah.
There's like 20 comics. You know what I mean? You don't want to be going there and go, oh, why do we invite this guy?
Right.
You know what I mean? So that worked out well. So thanks, everybody, at the NoHo Comedy Festival. Had a good time. Here's some things that happened over... These are, you know, when we usually do the podcast, we open the show with things, especially when Ethan's here.
Right.
We talk about things that I kind of think are really, like, I don't know, like a discussion everybody should be talking about if they aren't already.
Right.
Here's a discussion.
Yeah, sure. There's nothing going on in my life. We don't need to talk about me.
All right. Well, let's talk.
I never get to talk about myself on this
show,
Dougie.
What'd you do? What you got going on?
I've started doing something that's kind of getting me high, which is fasting.
Really?
Oh, it's amazing, man. Yeah. I'm doing this like keto and the intermittent fasting thing.
Hmm.
Like 2 days a week, I like fast for like 36 hours.
You don't eat for 36 hours?
Last time I ate was yesterday.
Wow.
And you get high, man. It's amazing. I'm so high right now.
You sure that's
it's
just like the heroin coming from your bloodstream that was dormant for years
yeah,
ago?
Right. Still leaching out of
it's
my
like,
muscles
it's
and
like
bones.
The,
yeah.
It's been stored in the fat cells
exactly.
in your body. Now that you're fasting, it's like...
Yeah. No, that could be what it is. Yeah.
I'm no doctor.
It's all just the fentanyl in my fat cells.
Stored up like in the icebergs.
Right.
During the ice age.
Like hibernation. Mm-hmm. I'm coming out. Yeah, exactly. No. It's great, man. So I've lost almost 20 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm just faced to the side, and then you'd be able to notice more.
Yes, you don't mind where you're sitting. You lost enough weight where you don't mind if you're sitting forward.
It doesn't matter. I can actually look pretty good now. Yeah. So I'm feeling good about that.
That's why I'm hiding behind all this shit.
I know, he's like eating edibles and then eating like he's eating the Fruity Pebbles brownie, and then he's actually also just getting two boxes of Fruity Pebbles
why
and
not?
Eating those. Yeah,
keep it all the same.
Right. So no, I've been doing that. It's been really good, and so I'm on this new thing. I'm also going to China for the summer to teach philosophy and ethics. This time I'm going to Shanghai, which I've never been there before.
Yeah,
that's going to be fun.
Yeah, when you're going to teach ethics to Chinese, huh?
Yeah, ethics, philosophy, and religion. Hmm. That's right, all three. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
I know, right? Well, they have a different tradition, but these students are in like studying in the U.S. right now, and then they'll be back in Shanghai.
Are they older students, or are they like 9-year-olds?
No.
I didn't know
they're like
teaching.
19-year-olds.
Okay, well, that's easier.
They're college students.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so
you think they'll bang one of the Chinese girls?
Yeah, it's probably a bad idea.
Yeah? Never, they won't ask you back?
I've never done that before. When I've been hired to teach, I've never had
never
sex
lost.
I've never had sex with a student.
Yeah.
No. I don't really think that's appropriate.
I don't think it is either, but it seems everybody's doing it. I just thought, why not ask?
You know, actually, when I used to work in Singapore, I was teaching a little bit, actually. I was mostly doing like business, and I did some like college administration. I remember one of the secretaries at this school that I worked at for a while, she said like, oh, hey, like, I think that girl likes you. And I was like, well, that's one of our students, you know?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I think that's fine.
Really?
And she's like, it's here. It's fine here. I was like, I still don't feel like it's fine.
It's like Florida. It's fine in Florida.
It's like, okay.
It would be.
I don't feel like it's actually fine. I think it's actually not fine.
So you sit in a classroom. You say, okay, did you guys read your assignment? How do you want to talk? Do you guys want to talk about what you read? Is it one of those things?
I probably will do some discussion. I think what I'm actually going to do for the ethics class is I'm gonna pick some. It's like contemporary ethical problems. So it'll be like, you know, abortion, I don't know, environmental ethics, identity politics, or like affirmative action, stuff like that.
Yeah, you should tell those Chinese people stop polluting.
Tell them to cut it out.
Cut out. Put a fucking filter on that big old smokestack.
There's a bunch of stuff which will be debated. Oh, one of them's like government and privacy.
Yeah.
So I think what I'm going to do is set up debates. So like the last week of classes, we're gonna have to pick sides, and then they'll have to get to debate. So that should be interesting. Plus, I won't have to teach that class for the last week. I'll just watch them do the debates and
there you go,
and grade them. So anyway, that's going to be really fun. It's just going to be really fun to spend this summer in Shanghai.
How long are you going to be there?
Like 6 weeks.
Hmm.
And then I'm also going to try to go to Hong Kong or Philippines while I'm out there.
Yeah, my wife went. She went to Japan. It's expensive as hell.
Yeah, I'm not going to Japan. It's like one of the only countries in Asia I've never been to. Even though I have a couple of friends there that like make crazy money doing different stuff. But
you better make crazy money because everything's expensive as shit there.
Yeah.
And the portions are small. Well, everything's smaller, I guess. I haven't been there, so I couldn't tell you. I can only tell you what someone else told you.
Did you ever go to Cambodia?
No.
Oh, man. Your family's from there. Your wife's family's from there and stuff. So, oh, it's great.
I want to go
out there.
Yeah, I want to
go to
my wife keeps going everywhere without me.
Right. Yeah, where is she now?
Yeah, she's there on a road trip.
Lessons.
Her mom.
It's with the yoga instructor.
Yeah, with Sven. Yeah, she's getting tennis mat. No, but her mom, her brother is going to eventually meet her sister and her cousin. They're on a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
They went through up the East Coast. They're going to go all the way to Niagara Falls, and then they're going to fly home.
Oh, wow.
She flies home one night before I head back to California.
Oh. So this is perfect. This is like the perfect marriage. You never have to see each other.
Don't fucking get out. I'm gone. You're here.
Right?
I'm gone.
No, that's actually probably nice at your stage.
You guys
in
get
the
along? Yeah, we get along. We haven't seen each other in a month.
It works out.
They say that's good.
I think it is good. You don't want to spend, you don't want to be living on top of each other for like too long, you know?
Yeah, because there's moments where I'm like tonight, I'm home. Like I'm home alone this week, right? So I got the remote to myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I could pull out the iPad and do whatever I want, whenever I want.
Just jerk off in the living room. You know?
You know? Whatever. What's up, Jeff Anderson?
Wait till I leave, but.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I will. Don't worry about it.
The other thing I've been doing is I just did a show at the Olympia Theater in Miami.
Right.
And I did that show because I taught a stand-up comedy class for the Front Yard Theater Collective, which is the house theater company for Olympia Theater.
Right.
And so then we did the graduation show there, and we made Freddie Stebbins a headliner. I hosted the show. We had a bunch of new comics. We had like Julie Baez, Eric was there.
Yeah.
It was super fun. And it was really interesting. I actually had taught a short workshop there before on stand-up, and then I actually had to do this more advanced workshop. It was really fascinating.
You feel qualified? A lot of people have been questioning whether they're qualified to be a stand-up comedy coach.
I mean,
or teacher?
Think about it, Dougie. Like, what do you need to know to teach someone who's never done an open mic before how to do stand-up comedy?
Yeah, well, if it's
like
open mic
the
class.
Basic level.
Yeah,
you know,
just put the mic stand back.
You teach them how to like what the rules are at open mics, and then you teach them like what not to do.
Right.
And then you teach them how to write jokes. Which I did that too. Mm-hmm. So we like break down jokes and try to like explain like how does this work? What is a joke and all that stuff. So it's really basic stuff, and it gets them just like started thinking. And then I just host like a series of writers meetings.
Right.
And we basically do like mock open mics.
And they all love it because they're around other people.
Yeah, and the students did really well. I was like shocked. I know a lot of people are like, oh, you're teaching a stand up comedy class. Like that's you know like whatever sell out. Everyone gets made fun of when they do this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. It was actually really interesting because I think analytically about jokes and like how they work and why they work. And you know from doing comedy down here in South Florida that a lot of people don't put a lot of effort into analyzing their jokes or why they should work or why they don't work.
And that's why, like for example, at this great thing about being at this festival, you know, there's comics.
Yeah.
I think there's 1,000 submissions and there was 20 comics.
Right.
And comics from Canada, New York, Georgia, you know, all over the country. And you could see it. I mean, I think out of the 20, there may have just been, you know, everybody was strong. It wasn't like, sometimes you go to a festival, you know, there's a few people like, boy, did these people even get their video watched?
Right,
you know?
Right.
Was their video submissions even looked at?
Yeah.
And that, but, you know, everybody was solid. And, you know, everybody was strong, you know. And so it was pretty cool. But you get to see everybody's, you know, there was one guy, I saw him do a joke. And this is the third time I've seen somebody do a joke about walking kids in leashes and putting dogs in fucking carts.
Oh, yeah.
And you tell whoever we did, you tell that joke. I'll tell you, the first time I heard that joke was from Randy Singer.
Okay.
From the New York Comedy Club years ago.
Right.
He said, Boca Raton, the women's have their kids in leashes and the dogs are in the strollers.
Right.
That was Randy Singer tells joke.
That was his version.
And then I heard another guy tell that joke. So, you know, that's, how do you go tell that guy?
It's kind of easy, you know, it's like there's a lot of people have made comparisons about how it's also often done as the way white people treat animals.
Yeah.
Is, you know, is they treat it better than like,
you see what kind of premise
they
treat.
Yeah, they make it racial sometimes. But yeah, it's the old joke about kids versus dogs. And
I'll tell you one thing that was weird that kind of has happened. We had a show. It was a dirty show. On Saturday night, I was on the Dirty Show, the Late Show, 10:30.
Okay,
and it was I was going to be put towards the end. Everybody's like, "Hey, if you're put towards the end, that's good. That means that, you know, they think you can close." I'm like, "Okay, great," but these two twin brothers, they're dirty. I'm trying to remember their names now, Conrad and so and so, the Smash Brothers.
Okay,
yeah, they're great, funny dudes, and they came out and they opened the show. They got tired because of so many comics. The show was going on for a long time. It was me and one other guy left, and some other comic then hosts the show. He takes over the hosting. Now, this comic was on the show prior. He did a spot.
Right.
Because he's a celebrity comic. He's a very funny comic.
Okay.
And I'm not going to mention his name because I'm not really throwing shade at him.
Okay.
And the guy even admitted, like, oh, after he looked at me after, he's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah.
So what did he do?
Well, all right, so he did his set, crushed. But he did his spot. He did his 15 minute spot during the show. Then he came back to host because the other guys said, fuck it, we're out of here.
Okay.
So it was just me. He hosted the last two or three comics of the show. He goes back up and does 25 fucking minutes.
Oh, wow.
Of crowd work. I'm sitting there next to the guy who's got to go up. I'm like, did anybody tell this guy there's only two fucking comics left?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But thank God.
That's too much.
One good thing, the people out in California stay at the shows.
Oh,
and like
really?
Some of the Florida shows where they, you know, they start leaving.
Everyone in every other city is better than here.
Well, I will say this. I did go to the 9:30 show in the Yoo-Hoo room at Flappers.
Okay.
And it's basically an open mic.
Okay.
And I'm going to be, I said they were fucking horrible.
Really?
Every comic.
They're bad.
And I'm not going to say they suck because they suck. I'm going to say they suck because they don't seem like they're, you know, no punchlines, nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was really horrible. And then every comic, and I was last in that goddamn thing too, they all left. So we all had to sit through 15 comics, horseshit jokes, and they're all fucking leave. You know, it's like nothing's worse when you're sitting there watching all these open mic, you know, people go up and they're horrible. And then now none of them are there to listen to yours.
Well, that happens. That's comedy.
I don't like it. I think it's fucked up. That's what I think.
I was at I don't know. I sort of like stepped away from the open mic scene and was just doing like the occasional book show. And now I've gotten back into the open mic scene.
A lot of people don't like going to it because of the horse shit and the attitudes and stuff. This is not just in Florida.
Yeah.
This is in a lot of different places. Like me, I stopped going to open mics because of shit. But then I started going because, hey, I want to do what the fuck I want to do. I want to work on stuff.
I'll always love open mics. They're great because you can just do stuff and you don't have to, like, worry about anything.
That's right.
It's amazing. But I did go to an open mic recently, and I was shocked. And it was up here. I usually go in Miami, but I went to one up here. And I was shocked at how little people had actually written jokes. I was like, these aren't jokes. You're just, like, not, you know what I mean? I know you go up there and you're trying to find one.
Right.
But it was like too much of that. I'm like, yeah, do that a little. You go up there with almost nothing.
Yeah. You got to go up and have something.
Like no idea where the punchline might be. If you just want to reference something.
Here's my point. You're right.
Yeah.
I've said this before on the show. I hate when I go to an open mic and somebody goes, so what do you guys want to talk about? Motherfucker. You've had all day to figure out what you wanted to do. You know, when I go to an open mic, I'm not going to go unless there's things I want to work on.
I've got my list, basically. I'm like, here's the jokes I'm going to try. Mm-hmm. We'll see what works. We'll see what doesn't. All right.
Right?
You know?
I'm sitting there wondering, what do you guys want to talk about? Bitch, you've been waiting fucking an hour and a half to get on stage, and now you're going to ask the fucking crowd?
You're going to do crowd work at an open mic?
No. Now, listen, if you want to work on crowd work, fine.
Yeah.
That's good. But don't come, like you said, people come up, I don't know, what do I want to do? What have you been doing? You were home today. You said, I'm going to go to an open mic tonight. You know, the minute I say I'm going to an open mic tonight, the first thing I say is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Am I going to work on a structure of a joke? Am I going to work on a new joke? Am I going to work on a tie-in and try to add joke to something? Or, you know, you got to have a purpose, man.
Right now I'm thinking about throwing out my entire, like, everything I have.
Yeah, you should.
And starting
actually.
Over from the beginning.
No, okay.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, this is
there.
Shit.
You got nothing there. No, but listen, one of the things I did, especially in this festival, like I have a habit when you're basically doing 6 minute sets at these festivals.
Right.
So it's like, all right, I try to change it up every time.
Right.
Some of the same industry was there, so but at the same time, you're like, oh man, I was used to doing 30 minute sets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the time, like Chicago. So to break it down, I'm like, all right, what do I do? Do I do a bit or do I throw a bunch of shit in there?
Yeah.
So all I said to myself was, you know what? I'm going to get out of the habit of just opening what I usually open.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times, I'm just going to open where I normally open and kind of throw something.
Right.
But a few times in the shows this weekend, I went, no, I'm going to go ahead and start right here now. Halfway through my set and go from there on. And it took, because it's like you're retraining something.
Yeah.
You know? Frank, what's up, buddy? New fan out of Chicago says, man, I would be bad. I would stick the warehouse work and enjoy the comedy. Okay.
How come every time you read a comment, it sounds like the person's like sniffing paint while they're writing it?
Because I'm reading it at an angle?
Yeah, you're
man, I would be bad. I will stick to the warehouse work and enjoy the comedy.
You make it worse, too, because you read it like Stephen Hawking would read it or something. I would be bad.
Well, here, listen. This is the things I wanted to talk about. You got enough? You shared enough? You feel
I have so many more things in my life, Dougie. But no, let's proceed on to the...
No, but
no one wants to hear about me.
No, they do.
I'm just kidding.
In the interesting aspects of it. But you're right. And I will say this. I've said this on the show before. In the South Florida comedy scene, I go to open mics and see the same people doing the same shit. I don't know if they're listening to other people. They're listening to the show. But a lot of people have stopped doing that. A lot of people I was That's thinking of, they were actually working other shit.
That's good.
Yeah.
But I'd almost rather go and see someone who has actual jokes, even if they're just trying their old jokes and trying to do them in a new way. What I don't like seeing is people who go up with absolutely it's like that's fine if you just decided you're not going to go up with anything tonight. But then when you do it over and over,
yeah, you're lazy.
Anyway,
you just want a friend. You know, they just want friends.
A lot of people just want camaraderie.
That's
what I told the students. I was like, do not go to open mics to make friends. You will not make friends. I mean, if you do, it's bad. These people are not good friends. Yeah. Like, go there to work on stuff. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I'm going to be able to hit any open mics this week. I'm going to be real busy. But Jackie has her show tonight at the backstage over West Palm Beach. So I'll go to that. I'm going to spend time with my dog. Since I'm home.
I'm actually going to be at rehearsal at the Olympia Theater again. Oh, nice. Because the Front Yard Theater has an improv and sketch show that I'm a
enough
part
of your shit. That's enough of your fucking stuff. No more stuff.
Like,
about
I don't
Ethan.
Want to hear anything about no Ethan anymore.
Jesus Christ, man.
So that's where I'll be.
This is the Wake Up with Ethan show.
I won't be doing an open mic tonight.
No.
Let me tell you about tomorrow.
All right, two things I want to talk about. That first of all, in Florida, the Senate passed a bill. Now they're arming teachers. You're a teacher.
No.
You're not, yes.
Not really.
Yeah, what do you mean?
I've taught as an adjunct professor.
Right,
in Florida.
But I'm not currently doing that. But let's say the idea is, like, I'm all for it. I don't think there's a problem with letting teach. And listen, I'm not of the stupid mind to think, oh, they're just going to hand out guns like they hand out number two pencils
right.
in the middle of class. Most of the people that are getting up with this duty are people that have guns, are in that, they have been trained with them, and they say, oh, if I could bring my gun to school. Not a bad thing, right?
I don't know. This seems bad, but like I don't think it's. Let me see. Do I think it should be illegal to take your gun to school? I don't know. I'm not sure about that. If you're a teacher,
I guess
I feel like it's a weak move.
Somebody posted
like
that,
as a teacher,
a gun went off.
Okay,
like in one school, somebody's gun went off. Okay, all right, and nobody got shot. Thank God.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're gonna point. Oh, look what can happen. But
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Listen, the first time. That any this will make sense is, can you imagine some kid goes into a school and fucking Bill the crazy fucking science teacher, you know, puts two bullets in the kid's head before he unloads on everybody. No one's killed.
That seems way more likely that someone just gets killed accidentally.
No, I don't think so.
Because
I have a little more hope.
Don't they say like you're way more likely to have your own gun shoot you than like to have someone who actually does a random gun crime
against you?
If you
have the Barney Fife book of fucking how to work, use a gun.
That's why you're not allowed any bullets, Dougie.
Yes. No, I think it's a great idea. Like I said, because I know I got friends who are teachers that go to the range when I go to the range, and they're capable. They're ex-military guys, and you know, so if they had a gun.
All the teachers I know are pussies.
Well, that's too. Weird. You know, you want to give Miss Crabtree a fucking gun. Oh, when do I point it? That's the thing, but that's what everybody thinks about when they say that. Oh, how can you give a teacher a gun, you know? Well, because not everybody in school is like, you know, Miss Crabgrass or, you know, some fucking lady that sits there with, you know, or some guy who's never lifted a fucking muscle, a weight.
Yeah.
You know, there are people in school that, you know, there are staffers in school that are badasses.
I don't know. I feel like if you need a gun in order to control the class, then like it's just you're not a good teacher.
Class, shut up.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That's weak. It's a weak move.
What you gonna do, Mr. Brown? What you gonna do? Okay, I'll see it.
Yeah.
No, I think it's good. And listen, it's
you gotta control them with your mind.
When all that shit happened, when all that shit happened in Parkland.
Yeah, yeah.
I said it's almost like the air marshals, the undercover air marshals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just on there. They're just chilling. And anything happens, they know what to do. Unless it's a bad movie and they're all assholes. The villain's such a smarter guy than the air marshal. So here's what I want to talk about. So I don't, you know, I would, listen, if I'm a teacher. Now, the real question is, you worry about who gets it. Right? You know, do you think there's going to be like, we have little cliques in high school, in our comedy community. Can you imagine some of the teachers are going to be like, oh, I can't believe fucking Ethan got a gun, you know. That's not cool. Why didn't I get a gun?
Yeah.
I mean, just wondering if people are going to be mad or worried.
I mean, I don't know about if be mad and worried. I guess I just, I don't know.
But isn't it good for the teacher? Because if the teachers do it, they get more money. The ones who get it, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then everyone's going to get it.
Fuck it. So, that's what I'm saying.
So you're going to pay, so the government has to now pay more money for these teachers?
Listen, first of all, I don't know if you know, but
Do you support that? Aren't you for cutting teacher salaries? Probably,
no, I'm not.
Just knowing
cutting.
Where you are politically.
No, I'm not. How dare you? Get my gun?
Accuse you.
Where's my fucking gun? I'm going to shoot a teacher.
Just accuse you of opinions you don't even have.
No, listen, first of all,
that's what I do.
Yeah, thank you. I believe. Look at our newly elected Republican Governor DeSantis.
Uh-huh.
Signed the bill to increase pay for the teachers in Florida.
Okay.
Last couple months ago, right? So, yeah, the budget's got to go up, whatever.
Where are they getting the money for that?
There's always money, bro. There's always money to get something if the idea is good, okay?
I don't know.
There's always
okay.
money to fund things that could work. There's no money to fund things like the Green Deal. Green Deal. Any rate, I didn't really pay attention to politics much because the good thing about being in the comedy festivals, I didn't really.
Yeah, it's a relief.
I didn't have any time to look at shit and worry about stuff. But I know Venezuela has an issue.
I try to take a break from it, but I actually can't because my podcast, Mean and Sober, is almost entirely political.
All about it.
So I have to keep up with it every week because I know that John Gregory, my co-host, is going to have some ridiculous alt-right opinion that I have to debunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. One of the things that happened was Barr came out. The Democrats didn't like him. They want to try to impeach him now. They're claiming he lied and all kinds of shit.
His statement was misleading. Even Mueller, a Republican, said that his statement was misleading about the...
No, he said it.
Did not provide the context.
From his statement, the press then was misleading in what he said with the bullet points. It was never anything he purposely meant to mislead anybody. He just
said that he lied.
He said he lied about was... He said that somebody had asked him the question in Congress, did anybody in the staff of the Mueller team ask you blah, 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 blah? And he said, I don't believe so. Or,
yeah.
You know, and this and that.
Kind of mealy mouth.
Yeah. And you know what? Fuck it. You know, this. If you get back to the basis of this thing, he didn't have to show it to anybody. He didn't have to pull it out. He could have made his own determinations. It could have been put the fuck in bed. And he still did. There was the redacted report was minimally redacted. You still got these fucking asshole liberals in the Congress trying to, we want to see this. We want to see that. It doesn't make a fucking difference.
I'm fairly shocked at how it all turned out. I was actually really surprised that Mueller or that when Barr came out that he portrayed it in that way, because the report overall was positive to Trump. It was like, yes, obstruction. There still looks like there's some evidence of that. We're not exonerating him on that. But as for the collusion, exoneration.
There was none of it.
If he just went out and said, just called it straight, then,
right.
It would have been like a one-day story almost.
Right.
And everyone, and it would have been like a pro-Trump story.
There's no way.
And
first of all, it's bullshit. There's nothing that ever could be said from any report without the fucking Democrats trying to twist it and call somebody
a
fucking liar.
They would have, yes, of course.
You
but
know, they're not going to be happy.
But the idea that Barr could mischaracterize the report and then think he knew that this would come out.
But he's coming from a legal perspective. He's not coming from a political perspective.
It's
trying to bury the fucking Republican.
Very political perspective.
No,
it's a political appointee.
Because he's looking at the law of it. Everything that on the obstruction aspect, there's nothing provable. There's nothing in there that shows it.
There's plenty of evidence of obstruction. Mueller said that they're not going after Trump for obstruction because he wouldn't be able to get a fair trial because of his position, and also because it would impede his ability as the executive.
That is not all of it. What that aspect of it wouldn't. Their offenses couldn't be charged, like you said. But at the
and
same
they said
time,
there's already a remedy, which is the Congress. You have to go after them for impeachment,
right.
and then
they don't even have that. But then they also said, you just don't. There's nothing in here that shows intent to do it. There's nothing in there that say, if you go. Here's the funny thing. It's simple. If I go to my counsel and I say, fire this guy. And I want you to fire this guy, and the council doesn't do it. That's all part of making that decision. The decision wasn't made. It wasn't like he said, oh, "Fuck it, I want it." It was done. It wasn't done. If it wasn't done, you can't say he did it. And that's the amazing thing about this thing. Move on, everybody. It's time to fucking move on. If the Democrats were smart, they would get everybody who's running try to be getting 2020 would drop all this shit, and they would worry about the next fucking stage of life.
They're making an argument now that since there is some evidence for obstruction, that the Congress and since the courts, since Mueller saying we're not going after him by indicting him, then there's a responsibility that the Congress has to go ahead and pursue the case.
Yeah, if they want to put themselves.
Seems like a bad idea politically, But morally or legally, I'm not sure. I'm like, first okay, of all, I can kind
of
see it.
First of all, morally, because you're acting like you may want to be doing something. But you're acting on something. The original thing was the collusion that all this was set up. And what you're
right.
Right, remember this. This is like Tim Hanlon's joke. How can you get only arrested for resisting arrest?
Yeah.
You know, if you look at it, it's almost like his joke, because there was no collusion. Right. There was none of that stuff. Obstruction means you're supposedly obstruction for people trying to find out shit that you were doing. They're investigating for in the first place. So if the first charge was bullshit and nonsense, you know what I'm saying? Now you can say, oh, yeah. What else do you do?
You could obstruct justice of the investigation of a charge that you're innocent of. I mean, it's still a crime. It's possible to do it.
It's just a weak. It's a whole. It's a non.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
When you get to the
moral aspect of it, there's nothing moral there. There's nothing moral there. All you're doing is trying to feed your own fucking your own favor.
Well,
morally right. All they're trying to do is bake their own side of the fence.
The moral issue is that you're not supposed to fuck with a system like that. You're supposed to let justice work itself out. You're not supposed to impede.
You're
supposed to have faith in the system and say, well, Trump's supposed to say,
not firing Mueller? By not taking him off, by not doing any of that stuff.
Apparently, he tried to fire Mueller, and like the people in his administration, like kind of like stopped him. Like,
but
McGahn
that was
like,
but
don't,
that, but
don't
that
do
was
hap- it.
I remember that happening when it would happen.
Yeah,
because I remember when it happened, even I said, "Don't do it." And then he came out and said he's going to go on with his investigation.
Yeah.
So that was ultimately was done. It was so to me, it's like you can't say he did something because he thought about doing it or was going to consider doing it. I consider doing shit every day that I can go to prison for, but I don't do it.
I mean, it's like the Bill Clinton thing, too, where it's like, yes, technically he perjured himself, but, like, come on, it was about a blowjob. It's kind of the same argument.
It's very different in the sense that he did something in the lying and where he did it while he was in power versus all the other shit. And again, with this the political aspect, I can't wait for the Investigator General's report. Inspector General's report to come out, and I can't wait for Barr to investigate everything, the FISA warrants process, and everything that started this whole nonsense.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell. I think it's going to be a lot worse on that end of it, and a lot more people are going to actually have to be answered to.
The thing that no one's actually talking about is that there have been, I don't know what the number is, but it's something like more than a dozen investigations spun off from the Mueller thing.
Right.
Because Mueller found a bunch of stuff and then handed it off to like other people,
right.
like state attorneys general and stuff like that in New York. And so those
campaign
investigations,
finance stuff is,
and they're
going
to continue. And I don't know where that leaves Trump in his inner circle. There may actually be further things that hit. I mean, my stuff might be hitting from this in like 3 years, 5 years,
possibly,
10 years.
Doubtful, but possibly. And it'll all be misdemeanor, and I like if anything, some with Cohen, some of the campaign financing things.
I mean,
and
Cohen's in, what does he go to prison for 3 years or something?
He's getting knocked off, man.
Cohen's going to get knocked off?
I think Cohen will have a mysterious accident.
Why?
I'm not behind it, goddammit.
I thought Trump is part of...
I'm not saying he's doing it. I'm just saying...
Wait, you're saying Trump is not obstructing justice, but he's going to kill Michael Cohen in prison?
You're such a liberal.
What are you
I
saying?
I don't say you're an independent.
What are you implying?
I'm just saying that someone... I just have a feeling that something's going to happen to Mike Cohen.
Okay.
Michael Cohen, something's going to happen to him. All right, I'm not saying I didn't say Trump's going to go up to him and fucking, you know.
Well, who would be responsible for doing that?
Well, see, that's your liberal aspect. Everything that goes wrong, it's your fucking fault.
Now you're just trying to gaslight me and our listeners, Dougie. Come on,
gaslighting.
Come on.
I did enough gaslighting on the plane here. Anyway, let's not talk about politics.
Here's
a subject I want to talk about.
Yeah.
This is really crazy. Transgender athletes.
I saw something about this recently.
Weightlifting, a man. Who then transgendered to a woman?
It's still political. Kind
is
of,
winning
by the way.
Every fucking powerlifting contest.
Right.
That's what I want to do. I'm going to get back into athletes. I'm going to transition to a woman.
Okay.
And I'm going to be.
I'll help you with makeup.
Yeah. Thanks, man. You help me shop. Get a little some dresses. And
sure.
Shit. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going back into my kickboxing days. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to be a transgender female kickboxer.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, age isn't on my side, mind you, but I think you know.
Apparently you can. Now that's
I'm
going to
do it. I'm going to fucking do it. You know, they got these high school track running kids, the brothers.
Yes.
I'm sorry, sisters.
Right.
And they're. I mean, could you imagine taking your kid? My kid didn't get a scholarship, A, because I don't have $10 million to bribe somebody. But my kid doesn't get a scholarship because this chick, cannot run him. You know, it's just not fair.
I haven't thought about, I haven't like sat down and thought about this very much, but it does seem to be very strange that we've segregated sports that way in the first place. So we have men's and women's. And so then therefore you have, and then what you decide to do is you say, well, now people can cross that line. And it sort of defeats the purpose of having the segregation between the
even
sexes in the sports, right?
Martina Navratilova.
Right.
She doesn't like it. She was a
tennis player or something.
She was a lesbian tennis woman from Yugoslavia, wherever she is. She looked like a dude.
Okay.
She looks like Peter Leonard, actually.
Oh, okay.
I always told Peter Leonard he'd be great if he dressed up as Martina Navratilova for Halloween. But she's gay. Serena Williams of her day. She looked like a dude. She had the fucking huge legs. Her arms were ripped up.
Serena Williams looks like a woman, but all right.
No. But she's a big, you know what I mean? She's got the musculature of a man.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Every guy she goes out with fucking must have looked like an MMA fighter after a week.
Right.
You know,
sounds like fun.
And I'd fuck if she was single and I was saying I'd bang the fuck out of Serena Williams. Don't get me wrong. She's hot. Fuck yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, on the court, compared to when she's on there with another woman, she looks like fucking, you know, Lou Ferrigno.
So,
fucking playing against, you know, Susie Pigtail.
So what are you saying? This lesbian woman who she didn't like the fact that men can compete. I mean, it's good.
She spoke out. She said it's not fair.
Or that if you're women, but they're transgender.
If you're a man, right? If you're a man and you think you're a woman, then you should still compete with the men.
Do you think that they should have a separate transgender category?
Yes, I do.
But then that's not that many people. That's the problem.
Well, then fuck it. Then guess what? That's the way it's like, you know, it's like being in a bad comedy arena somewhere, some area of the country where it sucks.
What if they just, what if they just make them compete with the, like, you know, gender that you're born with?
Yes, that's what I think.
Or what if they just do it by chromosome?
What? No, I think
XX versus XY.
No.
I think, first of all,
I like the first idea.
Genetic.
They should have, like, they have the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
They should have the Transgender Olympics.
Yeah.
If there's that many of them, then you got to compete in your own fucking class.
So that's like the XXXY thing I'm saying. No?
That's really going to get confusing when you have the Olympics with the fucking Roman numerals. And then you have the fucking chromosome numerals. You know, this is the XXYY.
You just changed the name
of the XXOO fucking Olympics.
You changed the name of the women's version to XX, and you changed the name of the men's to XY.
XY.
Although some people have XY, XXY, and you know what I mean? There's some. It's really confusing. Yeah.
Transgender weightlifter smashes women's world records, sparking backlash for Olympians. Yes. Can you imagine a woman holding that record, and then some guy, I'm a girl, comes out and beats you by twice the weight?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to sit there and go, oh, okay, I watch my world record fall because some dude who feels like he wants to brush his hair differently is going to be lifting as a woman now?
How about this? One category for everyone. Everyone competes in the same category.
Like a marathon. Like any of these running marathons.
Yes.
The guy who finishes first wins the guys.
It's really the only fair way to do it. No, not like a marathon, because like you said, then the men who finishes first wins the men's. No, just...
That's it.
Women and men compete in the same arena.
So the
trans people.
Yeah.
It means that there will be no more female athletes ever. But I guess that's what it means.
Fucking women don't really realize what's happening. All right.
There's no, But it's actually the only fair way to do it.
A transgender weightlifter is receiving backlash after racking up multiple wins during 100% Raw Weightlifting Federation competition in Virginia. Mary Gregory. Is she ready to, John? An American powerlifter and strength coach took to the Instagram on Sunday to announce she had gone 9 for 9 at the competition. See, that's the thing. That's another thing too. As an athlete, if you're bragging about it, I'm just another chick who beat out all these other chicks.
Well, if you're an athlete, you're going to brag about it. That's what you do, right? I mean, you first thank God. You take a knee.
Yeah.
And thank God.
I want to thank my Lord Savior
Jesus Christ.
Of
course.
Although he didn't know to give me a pussy, he gave me a dick instead.
Is Jesus in charge of that?
I don't know if that's part of his daily routine. I haven't
hung out. Giving the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and the 3 dicks. Yeah.
That isn't one of his
miracles.
That would be amazing. Maybe the newer testament will come out and say something like that. You know,
I'm trapped in a woman's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring me a cucumber and some huevos and I'll make you a man. It's all fucked up, dude. But I do think
one category.
One category.
Like the bathrooms. We have one bathroom
unisex
now.
Unisex athletes.
Unisex athletes, unisex bathrooms.
If you want to play basketball, you got to be the best, one of the best
merge the
five
w,
or six
you,
people
you merge
on that
the
team.
WNBA with the regular NBA. That's it.
And you're right. No women will ever play.
But this is the world we're living in. This is the only way,
What happened to the
fair.
White guy in basketball. White guy in basketball.
We don't have a separate
Negro
league.
You don't have a white guy quote
it's
on a basketball
true.
Team.
Think about it. It's
unless
actually
the Boston Celtics.
It's racist to have the Negro leagues and the regular leagues, the white man's league. And it's sexist to have a women's sports and a men's sports.
They're all for themselves.
Everybody in one category. That's the only way to do it fair.
That's it. You're right.
Right?
Like yeah, I like that idea. I'm pretty good at that.
Nobody watches the WNBA anyway.
No one watches that shit.
So you're in the
NBA. I was at a bar one time and they were playing that and there was like a fucking basketball or soccer game on or something. And I'm like, come on, man. And the guy's like, what? And I go, you would rather watch WNBA than a soccer game?
And everyone's like, no, we'll watch the soccer.
Yeah, okay,
that's
you're right,
fine.
Buddy. I'm sorry.
It's a beautiful
crazy.
Game after all.
Yeah. I don't know how much we have actually prepared for straight from the headlines.
Okay. Well.
So we may end up, we just may end up looking directly into straight, right into that. Fresh. Might end up looking fresh. I got a few stories. But,
okay.
I don't know.
What you're saying is you don't have like a Word doc with like headlines
I don't have everything prep because
all right.
I just flew in.
You just, yes.
And I pulled some stories.
Okay.
And then I ate the edibles. I was edibles and
right.
I brought them on the plane. I was nervous.
You were like looking at stories, and you're like, well, I'm just looking at my hands now.
Wow, my nails. I got these fruity pebbles, whatever they are. That's what they are, the fruity pebbles.
Fruity pebbles, yeah.
Fruity pebbles edibles. Oh, they're so good. And, I ate those, and I forgot about the news stories. What do you think? But if not.
Happened anyway.
No, we have a couple, though.
Okay, what do you got?
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you. Peter?
All right.
Appreciate it, buddy. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from here and around the world and make fun of them. First story, a tree that began weeping on Good Friday. Hundreds of worshipers over Easter now are following it. They're still there.
Weeping willow.
A weeping willow. Does that usually happen?
I don't know.
I remember when I was a kid, somewhere in Tampa or somewhere in Florida, there was a painting of the Virgin Mary that was crying.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I thought, you don't think it's maybe put right next to the air conditioning unit or something?
Yeah.
It's like where the, a tree that began weeping on Good Friday draws hundreds of worshipers over Easter weekend. A tree. Hundreds of people underneath a gum tree.
How do you know when the tree is crying?
And like somebody just
does it come out of its eyes? Does it have an eyelash? Like what?
Yeah, it asked for a tissue.
Like wait, no, it just rained earlier. Yeah. There's some it's just dripping with rain. I don't like. How do you even know?
The weeping tree that was dubbed the Fountain of Youth. Okay. I was too, and I went skinny dipping when I was a kid. Was located in a suburb of Perth, Australia. At first, many believed the large tree stump was just leaking rainwater.
That's what I said.
It collected after a heavy pour last week. But when the water continued to flow nonstop, much like me after being at Taco Bell.
Okay. It's a torrent of water.
Yes. Through Sunday, many questioned whether it was something altogether more miraculous.
This is like a biblical story, right? Where like, I think it's Moses. He like strikes the rock and water springs forth. One of those stories.
He breaks open the rock with his cane.
His staff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those stories. Okay. So then what happened?
Over the course of 3 days, locals and tourists alike flocked at the scene. They witnessed the overflowing tree. Some even drinking and bathing in the holy water. You can't do that.
Why not?
I don't know.
Cleanses your sins.
Yeah, I mean,
get the holy parasites in there, the holy amoeba.
Yeah, I'm going to be saved by God. Next thing you know, you got dysentery. I've either found the Fountain of Youth or a burst of water main, somebody said.
Okay.
That went up the tree. Jackie Beach, who lives down the block from the gum tree, said she was surprised to see a man stripped down to wash off in the tree water. I'm not surprised, are you?
No.
Usually they're high.
He's trying to cure his herpes,
Yeah. High people like water.
High people like water?
I did. When I was overly high on something, I'd love jumping in the pool, taking a shower. That was my escape from going crazy.
I've never thought of that.
Mm-hmm. It's like being in the womb.
I just laid on the couch,
Yeah.
just did more drugs, and then I was in the womb anyway.
Oh, when the drugs run out, then you're sitting there going, what am I going to do?
Right.
And he goes, I'll just go take a shower. But after a lengthy investigation, the Water Corporation of Western Australia discovered the true source of the leak, a cracked water pipe.
Yeah, okay.
It's gone, I tell you.
Right. Well, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
The Lord could have cracked the pipe.
You know? Who made the pipe?
Test the faith of all those.
Who made the water?
That's right.
Yeah.
Culligan man. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's good to hope, you know? It's not bad to hope.
Hope springs eternal. Mm-hmm. All right. No, that's a bad pun.
Colorado TV tech charged after giving customers a bear hug. Now, this is an interesting story. I'm not going to mention names.
Okay, I didn't even catch the headline. It was something about a bear hug. Say it again, Dougie. I'm sorry.
Colorado TV tech charged after giving a customer a bear hug.
A TV... Okay, your cable guy shows up and gives you a bear hug. I got it now.
A Colorado television technician is facing felony charges for allegedly hugging a customer tightly.
Joe Biden over here.
Yeah. Karen Lost told the news that David Novinsky, a subcontractor for Dish Network, gave her a bear hug, pinning her arms and chest painfully. And she was, as she was showing him out after he completed the work this month. The 70-year-old former sheriff's deputy said, feared she might be raped.
Oh, my God.
70-year-old chick? She said she pushed him away and told him to leave, and he waited a while and apologized before leaving. He is charged with trespassing and causing bodily injury to an at-risk adult. His attorney, Mike McCullough, said Novinsky often hugs people and gave Lost a three-second hug before leaving. He said Lost didn't say anything about being injured when she called Novinsky's boss with the charges. Now, I had an incident where I hugged somebody.
Okay. Recently.
Hadn't seen this person. I was in California.
No, this you told me about this earlier, right?
Right.
But so we won't say the person involved.
No, this person's name will never be uttered out of my mouth again.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
No, this person's a fuck. No, listen, I've done a lot, but I've referred. You know, listen, this person. But I've always liked the person. Nice.
Uh huh.
So I see this person at a club in L.A.
Okay.
It's always interesting when you see somebody from your state. Right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. Right. It doesn't help that you've been eating all these edibles.
Okay.
And you're tripping. Yeah. You're having fun. So you see somebody.
You think you're there to install the cable.
And by admission, I'll tell you this. By admission, this person is not a hugger. This person is, you know, in the past has said that.
Okay.
So, with that being said,
it's weird because she hugs me all the time. I don't know. She just told you that, Dougie.
Yeah. Well. You know what I'm saying?
He's like, Dougie, I'm not a hugger. Anyway, give me a hug.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing. So, all right, so I see the person, happy to see the person. Oh, hey, what's up, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I walked up, and they put their hand up, like, hey, like, all excited, put the hand, high five. And I'm like, I'm going to hug you, like, knowing, like, joking around, knowing the person doesn't like to be hugged.
Right.
But I didn't grab the person to give her a fucking three-second hug like this fucking jerk-off.
No, no.
I gave it a very, like,
you
awkward.
You said you basically didn't really hug her.
Right.
You basically,
I kind of just went around, oh, you know, it's good to see you, like put my arm around.
Didn't actually touch. You just kind of, mimed a hug.
I'm very honest. I'm not going to say I didn't touch.
Okay.
But I didn't force, push. I just kind of put my arm around the person. And then they messaged me.
Okay.
And they said, something happened. And I was in an accident. I'm all sore. So any little touch can cause me to go into great bodily harm.
Okay.
And now I'm thinking the person's just fucking around. Right? Now I'm thinking, oh, okay, whatever. So if you're so fucking tender, what the fuck are you doing hanging around in a busy comedy club? People walking around and shit. If somebody could just bump into you and you can get into pain, why the fuck are you out?
Yeah.
So that's my first thought. I thought the person was just bullshitting me, right?
Right.
And then I said, well, look, I didn't really, I fucking hug you. I just got, you know, put my arm around the back of you, you know, I said, hey, you know. And then it's like, oh, and then I said, oh, and then they said something to me like, oh, I had to go to the hospital and get morphine from it. And I go, oh, it worked out well then, like a joke. I thought they were just saying, and they said, you dickhead, I was really fucking, I had to go to the hospital. So now I'm thinking, fuck, first of all, I didn't even fucking barely touch you, number one, number two.
Right.
You know, if that's the case, where the fuck? So.
How many foot-pounds of pressure would you say that
well, that's
you
the other
put
thing
onto this
person
person's
said. This
head.
Person said, you don't realize how big you are, and you are all fucked up. I go, first of all, I was high,
uh-huh.
And when you're high, you're not aggressive,
right?
And I know my core. I know what I'm. You know, I know I'm not a small guy,
uh-huh.
But I also I'm not a fucking loon. I'm not a dopey fucker. I don't go bouncing around and falling all over the place. I had my composure.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And that was it. The person's got fuck you. That's why that was it. I was done. Fuck you. I said it ain't. Don't worry. It will never happen again.
You're like, I'll hug whoever I want.
Yeah. I don't fuck. Fuck
all right,
you.
Dougie.
I'm done. Never again. Don't worry about it. I'm not gonna ever fucking hug you.
Just don't grab anyone by the pussy. That's all we're hoping for, Dougie.
This fucking liberal asshole. Grab by the pussy.
Well, okay.
And it's always the women who are worried about getting grabbed by the pussy that never get grabbed by the pussy.
Well,
there's a lot of guys that want to be grabbed by the balls that never get grabbed by the balls. So don't call me a misogynist. I'm just being honest about something, you fucks.
Doug, you never grab my balls. You spend all your time on my cock.
What are the balls for? Come on.
What are you doing with those? This cable guy came in and hugged this old lady. I don't know. It's a weird situation we're in right now culturally, because it's like the thing with Biden, right? Everyone's like mad at him because
he's
gregarious.
He's a creepy fuck.
But it's a very similar situation to what
you're talking about. No. There's a big difference between fondling the hair of a young child and putting your hand on somebody's face.
This is just because you're a conservative, Dougie.
No. If it's one thing if somebody comes up. Two things, like a handshake.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now there's a company that won't even let people shake hands.
What company?
I don't know the company. I saw it and I didn't pull it up. I read the story briefly a couple days ago.
Uh-huh.
But people are saying they're not going to let handshaking anymore in the cup because it could possibly lead to misconstruing physical touching. And some sort of sexism.
They make cold medicine. I'm just trying to think what company would be.
It doesn't, you know, and that's the thing. You know, I mean, listen.
Biohazard suits.
You know, there's some people that are that way, and we get it, and you're in a professional. But, and Joe Biden's a creep, motherfucker. He doesn't just hug. He puts his hand, like his hands
okay,
on their
this
back.
Is, but
and
this
then,
is a very
strokes their hair.
I feel like you can't attack Biden because you had a similar thing that just happened. And then now what do you think about this situation? It's kind of a similar situation, too.
So which
right?
one?
The situation here where the guy gives the woman a bear hug.
Well, there's a stranger. Who the fuck?
Okay, that's weird, right?
Yeah. Now, maybe, who knows? Maybe the lady was so happy her cable is fucking working. I can't believe you did it. And the guy was like, oh, okay, well, I'm so happy for you. And then he crossed the line. Yeah, I mean, there's so many potential interpretations.
Right.
There's the amounts of different interpretations on there are so much more in favor of just human nature than any other type of wicked nature. You know what I mean? That's the thing I got mad about this person. I go, who the fuck do you think? The person said to me, oh, you're. She goes to me, she goes, your personality is so fragile that you just can't take it if I give you. I go, fuck you. I don't give a fuck about hugging you, you fucking. You know what I mean? It's like, you think I get off on hugging you? Fuck you. You know, it's like, I hug people.
Yes.
I don't give a fuck if somebody doesn't hug. But I just thought it's funny because this particular person too, I had a conversation with not long. We were joking around about something. So it's like, you know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be an asshole about it and come got some fucking horse shit story about I hurt you and you went to the hospital. And here's the thing. I'm not a, you don't tell me, don't lie to me and say, oh, I had to go to the hospital when you just got done saying 4 seconds before that you could have been hurt.
Yeah.
Now you tell me you were, what the fuck? That's why to me the whole conversation is like, you're full of shit. You're just being an asshole.
Dougie, I don't know, but I think this kills your chances of being elected in 2024. So.
I do.
You know,
and all the times I showed my dick in middle school playing Truth or Dare, that's going to come out. I know it is.
That party in the 70s. Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you.
To bring it back to something connected to comedy, what do you think about the whole? So if you're hosting or you're on stage and you have to, you know, be introduced or introduce someone, do you hug or do you handshake? Even if it's so like there's kind of some people they would like shake the guy's hands
right.
or like dap or whatever. And then they would like hug the women.
No, I wouldn't hug the woman unless it's somebody I really know well.
I kind of am at the point where I just shake their hands, no matter who
it's
is.
It's a safer bet.
It's just safe. You know,
a safer bet.
You don't want that. Also, if you do something weird and awkward, then everyone sees it. It's like the show. It's like weird, right?
Yeah. It's almost as weird as sometimes you go to shake someone's hand, they don't shake your hand. That awkwardness.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm just saying. But yeah, you're right. Fuck it. I mean, you nowadays, don't fuck it. Nobody, fuck the handshake. A fist bump,
you
gotta
do a fist bump.
That's it.
Yeah.
The fist bump is it. The fist bump. You know, and the hug. The only reason I would hug anybody on stage, anybody,
yeah,
is if it's somebody I have a close relationship with.
Right.
And I'm happy they're on stage.
You see someone coming in for the hug, and then you gotta reciprocate. Yeah.
I would Elgin David, you.
Right? Okay.
Fucking Searoid hug. Right? Who else on the show? You know,
like, all the guys? All the guys.
Fucking all the girls on the show I'd hug.
Guys?
Because they're on our show.
Okay, okay.
But, you know, do I just, can I hug you because you're a girl? No, I'm not going to do that.
Because you're a girl, right?
Just because
you're
a girl.
That's what gets weird, yeah.
You know what I mean? People, let me hug you. Fuck that. You know, and it's always awkward. So, and here's the thing. It's just fucking mind-boggling to me. You know, and then this person, I thought it was all a joke, and I get my report that morning. This person's no longer following you on Twitter. This person's not following you on Instagram.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, what a fucking joke.
So.
And I'm really happy.
How did it finish? Did you actually tell her like, fuck you? Was that the?
I said enough's enough. I told her. I said whatever horse shit you want to talk about. I go.
Oh, you like?
Yeah. I go. I have no more time for this. You know. Don't worry. Never fucking will happen again. Take care. Good luck to you. You know what I mean?
Okay. But you were sort of dismissive after going back and forth with her a few times. Yeah, you're like, all right, that's it. But you weren't like, fuck you, I'll never book you. Or
I'm never going to book her. Even before this happened, I never booked her because she bombed fucking twice. So I'm not, but you know what I mean? But yeah, that was it. I mean, it is what it is. And I don't care. But yeah, that's the way it was. And then, you know, now you worry like, oh, maybe she's going to, you know, maybe she's going to try to file a report and stuff, which I already contacted my attorney. He said, don't worry about it. Because I have, the funny thing is, I have, well, I don't want to say this because people are going to look at it, but I have a photo of the person being hugged, taking a photo right after that happened.
Okay.
Like, in other words, if you're saying that you could have hurt me by putting your arm around my back.
There's someone else doing it.
And then meanwhile, you're in a photo with somebody putting their arms around you, holding you around your back.
Right. One of the elements here is that you'd have to prove that it was your hug. It's like, right, yeah. It wasn't that other hug.
If something happened to you, yeah. The person said, my family member did it, and the next day I'm like, so how the fuck do you know my hug was the one and not the pothole you hit on the way to the fucking show?
Okay, I feel like this is just a really long route to go. Why didn't she just tell you you're creepy, you know, if she didn't want to hug you?
Well,
she's like, I'm happy to hug anyone except Dougie. Like that's what I'm getting from the story.
Like I said, you know.
Like getting hugs from other people. And then she sends you a mean text message about
like,
it.
That's the thing. It was like, well, I was looking at it like, is she funny?
Right,
is she trying to be funny or is she serious? That's why I said, when the person made, I had to go get fucking morphine for my pain. I'm like, it worked out well for you then.
Yeah.
You should be thanking me. Anyway.
She just hates you.
The feeling's mutual. The fucking feeling's mutual. And I'll say this. I won't book her, but I feel justified now. Somebody asked me not too long ago, not that my call would have done anything, but the person asked me what I thought, and I said, all I can tell you is the last two times this person was at a room I had, they bombed. So maybe they heard that. Maybe, how do I know that maybe the person didn't call the person, someone said that you bombed their room.
That's actually kind of likely.
Yeah, now they have an attitude about it.
Heard something through the grapevine, and they're like, fuck Dougie.
Now they're going to displace that anger at me over a situation like that.
That happens.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Always end on a note of
Ethan and I are going to go
bile and
Ethan
and
I are going to go out. We're
going
to
anger.
We're going to go out and hug people now.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to go to open mics right now and hug a bunch of people. How do you like that? This will be
on my part.
This will not be our only show today. I will have my good friend and special guest in the studio, Ahmed, this week.
Oh, cool!
So that'll be very cool. Talking acting, how he's relocated to Malaysia, bringing comedy
really?
To Malaysia. Yep.
Oh my God, I love Malaysia.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to hang out there all the time. That's awesome.
Go. Yeah. So he's bringing stuff there. And by the way, 9:30 tomorrow morning, guys, if you're listening, the Paul Casanova Show, Ahmed will be on there from basically 7:55 to about 8, 9 o'clock, whatever it is. I'll be there. I don't know if I'm going to get on the air, but I will be there, hanging out, eating donuts, whatever the fuck's in the studio.
Cool.
You know what I mean? And we will. I don't know when Ahmed will be here. It'll be Wednesday, probably Thursday afternoon. But go to our fan page on Facebook, Awake Up Late with Dougie Show. That's where you can watch these videos after we shoot them. And, of course, go to our Twitter site at Wake Up Dougie and our Instagram site at Wake Up Dougie Show. And follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Twitter and Instagram. And, like I said, Wednesday night, Wise Guys Comedy Show. Ahmed, myself, Alan Newcomb, and Nadeem Awad's going to be out there without doing any Muslim jokes.
Nice.
You can't do any Muslim jokes.
Okay, that's good.
It's part of the deal. And what do you got coming up?
Actually, I'm doing a couple, 3 or 4 shows in May. So I don't want to say where they are yet because there's. Oh no, actually, I will say this: we're going to do the 33rd Street Wine Bar again. Me and Eric Rosenblum. We're bringing that back for May. So we've got a couple shows that are actually going to be really cool. So just follow me on Twitter or Instagram at @EthanIsNotFunny. I'll post all the info there. Also, check out my other podcast, Mean and Sober, that I do with John Gregory. MeanandSober.com or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It's about politics.
There you go, guys. Thanks again for listening. And aside from that, I will be at the Off the Hook Comedy Club this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with Ahmed Ahmed. Next week, I'm headlining Pachanga Casino in Temecula, California, which is right near San Diego. You can go to DougAlmeida.com for it. Thanks, guys, for joining us today. God bless. And if you're going to hug somebody,
yeah,
do it right.
Hugs, not drugs.
Yeah, hugs, not drugs. Thanks for being here, guys. We'll see you here next time at the same spot.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled through the world on a silvery light. The people of the Earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as he landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground. Through the door to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children.